Delicate is really the word for Jerry, the funniest delinquent who ever made the Rogues Gallery.
I was just taking out the garbage cans. I don't want to go to no electric chair with the thing on it. Oh, that's terrible.
Yes, he's really a panic, a crazy mixed-up kid who's really flipped his lid. But underneath it all, he's just a soft-hearted guy trying to get along in a hard-boiled neighborhood.
Sydney, I want to give you a present.
Oh, really? What is it?
This. Isn't that nice, Sydney?
It's very nice.
But things aren't all bad. This cute little chick thinks he's wonderful.
Am I unattractive?
Oh, no, no.
Then why in the world do you constantly ignore me?
Why in the world? Because I'm nothing. You don't deserve to be with that or nothing. You wait till it's something, me. When I'm something, then I'll talk to you.
And how Jerry gets to be a something makes this story as heartwarming as it is hilarious.
I want to be looked up to and respected.
You will be.
I want to be a cop.
That's Darren McGavin as Jerry's new buddy in blue, helping Jerry become the dizziest recruit who ever went through the police academy the hard way. Taking lessons in wrestling.
But I got one of my own little tricks.
Get out of that. I got it now.
Lessons in gunslinging. Lessons in street fighting, where Jerry bumps head-on against his ex-pals on the wrong side of the law.
Hello, welcome to Movie Humpers. My name is Bub Sham.
My name is... Oh my goodness.
I apologize. Speaking over women.
Did you need to introduce me? No. Is that what you were doing?
Or
you
just order forgot for you at restaurants when we go
about
to...
About me for
when
a
we
second.
Go to Hardee's, I order for you. Or Carl's Jr., depending on what part of the country you're in. And I do that at Checkers or Rally's.
I don't go to any of the places that you just said. My name is Angela. I am your wife, and you forgot about me for a second.
I didn't forget about you. I was just talking over you.
But we always
because women
do the
be
same.
Talking, am I right? And they be shopping. I've never shopped a day in my life.
Okay, I'm gonna cut up your Best Buy card.
This playful sexism is appropriate.
Yeah.
In who we're talking about today. The guy who's like, women aren't funny. Yeah, but he's dead. But we'll give the man some credit over something.
I saw him in person a few years before he was dead.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Keep going. Keep telling the story.
I went to a interview that he was doing at the Performing Arts Center here because they locally produced The Nutty Professor the Musical.
Yeah.
And he was part of that. And so he came.
That would have been kind of cool.
And obviously we just said The Nutty Professor. So I'm talking about Jerry Lewis.
Jerry! did he put a pint glass in his mouth?
No, I did not see him do that in person. And it was not a very long discussion, but he was there. And I did see him. And it was kind of a big deal for me because I grew up watching his movies. I have a feeling as we continue through this month, my memories will not
we'll be hitting up three
be as fond as they were.
Three Jerry Lewis movies this month. But I'm sad to report that the long-lost Jerry Lewis Holocaust movie, The Day the Clown Cried, apparently will not be aired at the Library of Congress, where he donated it after his death. He donated the footage because there's not a final cut of it, so they're not going to air it. At first, they had said, like, yes, it will air because by this summer is when the limit that he put on it to be released.
Okay.
So if we can please get some director, some editor out there to kind of put together this, it's
And yet, why can't they just show it in its current iteration and just say that?
People have seen the rough cut of this, like certain people. In fact, hold on, I'm gonna give you a quote, like Harry Shearer, who was associated with the Simpsons.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He has seen the rough cut of this movie.
Okay.
And I'm gonna quote what he said about this.
Okay.
And this is why I'm so obsessed with wanting to see this movie.
I'm ready.
Oh, have you found the quote?
In 1992, an article in Spy magazine, the comedian Harry Shearer said he saw a cut in 1979. Quote,
that's only like maybe 6 years after Jerry was making it and then decided like, oh, I'm not going to make this movie.
He said, this movie is so drastically wrong. Its pathos and its comedy are so wildly misplaced that you could not, in your fantasy of what it might be like, improve on what it really is.
For like a hot minute, there was 30 minutes of footage of this movie online, and it was gone. And I'm like, why did I not rip that video? Because it's gone.
Did you see those 30 minutes?
I kind of went through it. I've seen pictures of Jerry Lewis in clown makeup from it. I mean, you can see based on that quote. Like, somehow this is might be the most perfect tone-deaf bad movie I've ever seen.
And he made this in the 70s?
Yeah, it was like early 70s he tried to make this. But anyway, so I was getting prepared to make a trip to the fucking Library of Congress if they were going to screen this summer. I was putting things on hold in my mind that were going to happen around summer to be like, well, I can't do it if they're going to air The Day the Clown Cried at the Library of Congress.
Here's my prediction. If that's the stance they're taking, that they cannot or will not show it in its current form because it doesn't have a final cut, then the only way we're ever going to see it is if someone else decides to make a documentary about it and gets permission from the Library of Congress to use the footage.
They said that it should be available for scholars by the summer. So how do I
like get... You have to go rent it or go watch it at the Library of Congress, I believe. Don't quote me. We have to look it up.
Well, maybe there's still a possibility then. Maybe I can put on an ascot or something and be a scholar. How do I get... Look, I don't have like master's degree in whatever, but I can fake being a scholar here.
I don't know if there are parts of the Library of Congress that only certain people could access. I guess that makes sense.
I'm going to wait till the summer hits. I'm going to wait till June, and then I'm going to call up there, and I'm going to ask some questions.
Yeah.
Because it is important that I get in front. I don't care. Rough cut, that's fine.
Yeah.
I got to see this shit. But honestly, I don't have much history with Jerry Lewis. My history of Jerry Lewis is him being this curmudgeonly dude that holds pint glass in his mouth, that hosted the telethon.
There you go. I'd give anything to see the number up there, but South Point put their goddamn advertisement under it. Hello?
Feel like,
muscular dystrophy.
Yeah, my memory of Jerry Lewis is him being like mad for no reason. But I don't think he was mad. I think he was just old and cantankerous like you would be. Like, yeah. Maybe he wasn't really mad. But didn't he just seem mad for like the last 30, 40 years of his life?
Well, yes, but somehow in my mind, even as you're saying that, I just thought he was mad because these kids had to die like from muscular dystrophy. Like he was so, I was so like 100% in love with him when I was a kid. Let me just explain where I come from with this. So my childhood was
the nicest version.
Constant. We watched so many old movies. It was like Shirley Temple, Martin and Lewis. Dean Martin's not in like the Nutty Professor. And
yeah, yeah.
We're going to watch one next week that I remember watching as a kid, which I'm very interested in.
The Ladies' Man?
Yeah, The Ladies' Man, because
big budget on that one.
Yes, and that one's interesting because it's like a big apartment building where all these women live.
It's like a big set, like painted. Like,
it's really cool.
At least the setting should actually be pretty impressive.
That was what I love so much about it, because it honestly felt to me like if I could live there, it'd be the closest to living in a Barbie dream house.
Well, we'll be talking about that next week.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, I did love him and his movies. It was like a thing where we always watched the telethon. Jerry Lewis was just a beloved person in my home.
How boring was that?
It's not boring because they had musical guests and people all the time. I mean, there were definitely sad stories, but it wasn't boring. And we always would put together like a 1,000-piece puzzle while we watched the telethon.
Did y'all ever actually donate?
I did when I had my own money when I was old enough. I do not know if my mom did.
We're going to say they did not.
Should I text her and ask? While we're recording?
Yeah, well, go ahead.
No, I'm not going
to. No, go ahead. Ask them if they ever donated to the Jerry Lewis Telethon. And now we're talking about the movie The Delicate Delinquent, directed by Don McGuire. And it's co-written by Don and Jerry Lewis and starring Jerry Lewis, Darren McGavin, and Martha Heyer. And The Delicate Delinquent, I skipped the Martin and Lewis years for a reason. I mean, I just wanted to focus on Jerry.
Yeah.
Our theme this month is Awkward Laughter to the Flop. So we're talking about like a lot of movies that didn't hit at the box office. But for our classic picks, I wanted to go through a few Jerry Lewis movies, but these movies did not bomb. This movie cost $500,000 and it made $3.4 million in the U.S. alone. In France, it made back its cost in France just from the tickets sold there. They love Jerry Lewis in France. But the guy who played the cop, Darren McGavin, it was originally pitched that Dean Martin would play that role, but Dean Martin, I mean, they'd made like 8 Martin and Lewis movies by this point.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Ce 21 movie, actually.
Dean Martin was like, nah, I don't want to do this one. And that was the story of the beginning of Jerry Lewis's solo career and the end of Martin and Lewis.
You know what's funny is...
Jerry Lewis?
No. I mean, yes, well, sometimes. Well, it's debatable. We'll get into it.
I think I laughed exactly 5 times in this movie.
I think I had it in my head that this was really early in his career because he looks so young. That just because I'm old? He looks young in this.
He looks young. He's 30. That's not that old.
No, it's not at all.
But he had already, like, made his way throughout a career. He started doing stand-up, known for his ad-libs. He probably worked a lot bluer in stand-up than he did in the movie.
He was playing a 21-year-old in this movie.
Yeah.
I knew he was not that young. The woman playing his love interest looked 35.
There's that style, that look back then.
Mm-hmm.
There's some women that when they are done up in that look, that they just look like they're 15 years older. Like the hair done up.
If she had long hair, she
would have looked younger.
She had
sure.
a short curl hair.
Before we dive in, there's not much for this movie, all right? We'll cut through it pretty quick. In the trajectory of time, if there's the most subjective thing in any movie or across time is the nature of comedy and what made people laugh over time. And I got to admit that Jerry being like, it's not inducing laughter. And sometimes I felt like his weird mannerisms went overwrought, like what was usually a good jokey moments here and there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But Jerry Lewis he did popularize this kind of physical reaction comedy. He was also the guy that was like, he was the biggest putz, the biggest loser, the biggest doofus. He was the guy that couldn't get girls or wouldn't get girls or whatever fucking reason.
He's clumsy and not so smart.
He seems like he has an intellectual disability, but almost like a savant. Like he'll randomly do amazing things, but then just can't do basic things.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to give Jerry Lewis credit for kind of popularizing this thing that I see all the time in like TikToks and Instagram. Like 30% of TikToks are people just making very overtly expressive, highly animated gestures.
Mm-hmm.
And I know people are also, when they're doing that, are also trying to emulate animation reactions and anime shit.
Yeah.
But sometimes people are just trying to be like super wacky. And a young Jerry Lewis, if he were born today, he would have crushed it on TikTok. And if you're someone who maybe would think you wouldn't like that stuff, but you're looking at TikTok and you're like, the crazy face lady, I really love her. I think she's funny. Go watch some Jerry Lewis movies because I think you might like appreciate that. And if you're an old ass man who loves Jerry Lewis, but you don't understand social media, about 30% of TikTok is more for you than you might think.
Do you think it does exist in children's television? it's interesting that the
last, I think you're right.
You know, like your Disney shows, that kind of stuff, where it's like for tweens and under.
That's Jerry Lewis's legacy.
Exactly. And, you know, the last person that I can think of modern who did this is Jim Carrey.
Yeah, those Nickelodeon, those Disney Channel kids shows, the level of humor.
It is like animation, like you were just talking about. But if you take those TikTok people or those kid show actors and you try to put them in like a regular movie that's maybe a comedy with some serious moments, which is what this movie at the heart of it is, it feels disjointed. The whole movie was the straight man.
Except for the weird professor who lived in the apartment
complex. He was bizarre. He was weird.
Which also wasn't very funny.
Did you ever stop to realize when the Earth is destroyed, all the people will escape to the moon in rocket ships? What about the poor little frogs? How are they going to get away? Well, they can. I'll tell you how. In my frog ship. And the remarkable thing about this is it holds 1 million frogs. Did you hear what I said? 1 million frogs.
Oh, that's terrific.
You're right. And when you see that kids' humor and then you see people making these weird expressions on TikTok, and the same feeling I get when I'm watching Jerry like overham it and kind of bury what you might think would be a pretty funny scene. It does make you want to go out and commit acts of terrorism. It does make you sympathize with terrorists. But you got to give Jerry Lewis credit. And look, this movie made bank. Like it like quadrupled.
Oh, I'm sure.
Budget.
He was a huge star.
Where I if I could go back, sometimes, you know, it'd be fun to, when we watch older movies, I'm like, it'd be so fun if we could go back in time and watch these during the day. Mm. I think I would watch Jerry Lewis movies just to see how the crowd reacts. Cause,
oh, sure.
Because it seems like the reviews are fairly mixed. Like it doesn't seem like everything was like universally like, oh, this is the funniest man on planet Earth. Mm. And like I said, the French loved him and Germans.
Oh, yeah.
Germans also liked him.
But
you can't listen to the Germans on what's funny.
Well, but also culturally, were they just making fun of us by liking him so much? I don't know. Did they really think he's legitimately funny?
You think all those were ironic ticket sales?
In other countries?
Yeah.
Well, I'm just asking if you think there was like maybe an undercurrent
of... The French fucking loved him.
Americans are idiots and this is their king.
Jerry Lewis, compared to like what we know of German comedy, would be like, if he's standing in Munich, he'd be the funniest guy in Germany. Like, let's be honest. Like,
German comedy's like, we're going to make you laugh once and then like kill a bunch of people and you're going to cry by the end.
Yeah, we've been watching Fassbender movies. Those are pure comedy.
Dark comedy.
They are kind of funny.
They are.
Okay.
He knows what he's doing.
It opens up on a West Side Story type intro or something.
So like I was waiting for them to burst out in song.
Yeah, these guys are, this gang's coming into the back row and then
they're pretending to be very serious.
And then Jerry comes out and he's like, he's a tenant for the, he's a repair person for this building, and he comes out and he's dropping the trash and they all scutter off, and then the cops come and like take him in and beat him up, and it actually was kind of funny, the timing of him coming in. But again, he's like, whoa, it can't just be that. He's got to be like all over the place.
And he picks up a knife off the ground, which is also why they thought he was involved.
Yeah, and he's holding it like this at cops.
And
he's like,
not saying any words.
Yeah, so why wouldn't you be arrested?
They call him an apprentice janitor. I believe that means he doesn't get paid, but he gets to live in the attic for free. Because we go to his apartment in the attic. I mean, an apprentice doesn't typically get paid very much at all.
I would have been hyped for that spot when I was 21.
There was no one that he was apprenticing under. You only ever see him as though he's the super handling and yelling. People are yelling at him all the time.
So the police chief is like very hard on these young whippersnappers.
And they know him. They know Sydney.
And Officer Damon, he wants the chance. He says, I used to be just like these kids. I don't think anyone was like Mr. Sidney Pythias as played by Jerry Lewis. But Damon's like, just give me a chance to help turn one of these kids around. And sure enough, he's helping to turn around Sidney Pythias, who's crying when he's in the lineup.
I really got to the point. I was just taking out the garbage cans.
I go to an electric chair with that thing on it. That's terrible. Let me out. I ain't gonna eat this slop. I don't want to go to jail while I'm emptying a garbage can. Please, I'm an op. I'm too tall to die.
Well, his eyes cross all the time. I think that means he's coming. Whenever Jerry Lewis crosses his eyes, that means he's busting. There was one joke where...
I also discovered that you tried to enlist in the Army, right?
Oh, yeah, and the Navy, and the Coast Guard, and the Marines, but they all turned me down.
Why? What happened?
Well, they thought I was a little nutty, something about my temperament.
Oh, psychologically unfit, huh?
No, my lungs were fine. They just thought I was a little nutty.
It was funny.
There was a funny joke in this movie.
This movie's mid. It's just a mid-ass movie. But he won't get with the girl that lives in the building.
But also...
because he's waiting until he's worth something.
We find that out towards the end. At first, it seems like she definitely likes him, but she won't say anything more to him than, how are you, and will you dump my trash out?
Yeah.
And then towards the end, she basically is like, why don't you talk to me? Don't you think I'm pretty? And he's like, I'm not anybody, and I'm trying to be somebody, and when I'm somebody, I'll come back here for you. That's actually a really sweet scene.
There's this lawyer lady, played by Martha Heyer. Martha Henshaw is the character's name, and she's like a lawyer who's working with this and trying to work with the police on this.
She's one of those ladies who, she's a lawyer, but she also is somehow in a community group where she is trying, she wants to clean up the neighborhood children, or not children, but these young hoodlums.
She's frigid and educated, so that's like a big issue for Officer Damon.
Smart women are not sexy.
He accuses her of not drinking domestic beer.
Now pick up your diploma and head back to Park Avenue where you belong. And if you've got any ideas about helping people, start in on your own parents. From the looks of you, they certainly need help.
I can assure you Captain Riley would be interested in this situation.
Good. Tell him anything you want. Only stay away from Sydney. Oh, there's beer in the icebox. I don't think you'd like it, though. It's domestic.
Which is like spitting in someone's face in 1957. She can't enjoy like a nice Belgian.
They have a
on a
fight.
Spring day.
Yeah, they have a fight because they're told, you know, the chief doesn't want to let him do this program, but he agrees to let him try. And then he says, okay, you're definitely doing it because I told these folks about what you're doing, like the Chamber of Commerce or something. And they've assigned this woman to help you. And he's like, I work alone. And then she says, well, you are not going to succeed because you're too nice. You're too nice to these guys. I've looked at your track record. You're just going to let them run over you. They need discipline. And he's like, okay, well, you go find a delinquent and come over to my house tonight. My delinquent's coming over to my house tonight. Go find one. So then she proceeds to start talking to people on the street, and she talks to the Riddler.
Right, Frank Gorshin, who played, uncredited. Frank Gorshin, who played the Riddler in this.
It's 100% him.
It is. I've verified it.
Okay, good.
In the 66 Batman show, which I love that show. Yeah, he plays an uncredited hoodlum leaning on a street lamp. At one point, Sydney, he's kind of getting bullied a little bit by these gang dudes, but one guy kind of likes him a little mm-hmm. bit. And he hands him a switchblade, and he's like, one day I'm going to come get this back. So Sydney has this switchblade, and then he's like, pretending like he's a tough guy in an alleyway.
And she sees
it. And she sees it, and he's just like,
ah! I'm flipping.
Ooh, yeah. Ah! Stand back, baby. You're going to get some of this.
It actually is kind of funny, but it's also the question of, like, why are you doing this as the lady approaches you?
And because he's even going like, get back, lady. Get back, lady, or I'll get you. Like, it's very crazy.
Yeah, like, why? You're not that kind of guy, but you're pretending to be. But
she invites him to dinner.
It's for the physical humor, obviously.
Yeah.
But it is like, and the image of him like, yeah, with a knife, pretending to be a tough guy. It is kind of funny.
Yeah, that part is.
But it just also kind of doesn't make sense, like, why he's doing it.
Well, because he seems like the kind of guy that would stop as soon as he sees a nice lady around the corner.
The answer is that he has severe brain damage, severe intellectual disability somehow, but a savant.
I discovered you graduated from high school.
I did? I mean, yeah, I did.
And you also, you got pretty good marks, too.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I did.
The story of Martha Hinshaw, that character's trajectory, could not be less inspiring.
Oh, I know.
As well, off camera, she decides that, oh, she likes the cop, and then they start dating, essentially.
Yeah, they have a big fight over Sydney about how to help him. And then from that, the next time you see them, he's like in love with her, and they're going on dates, and then they're fucking.
She seems like someone who could be a bit of an antagonist that you think will come around, mm-hmm. but she just goes from zero to domestic.
Well, and then she becomes really selfish because he's spending a bunch of time with Sydney, and she does this big speech about, I want to be number one in your life, and I'm always going to be number three, because he says, well, if you take me, you got to take the kid, because there's always going to be a kid. Like, I'm helping Sydney, and then I'm going to help another kid. That's what I do.
Like literally her job, in her own way, though she seemed a little rigid about it, was to try to help people.
She needs more attention.
But suddenly, that's, you're helping people too. Like,
it was ridiculous.
Character's stupid.
It was really stupid.
But, you know, Sydney tells Officer Damon that he wants to be a cop.
Yeah.
So he enlists him into the police academy, and he could not be a worse cop. This is nepotism coming in. This is the story of
1,000.
Where our police force is today. Like, we think this Sidney Pythias is funny, bungling his way through the police academy.
It's not.
No, these are the kind of people that just shoot people in the back just because they don't want to chase them. But yeah, he does terribly, except there is a one scene where they're practicing with guns, and his timing actually is quite funny here. The gun just goes off, and then he freaks the fuck out. It actually is funny. That part is actually very funny.
Yeah, he's fucking up so much. There's this weird scene that was completely pointless with a sumo wrestler who I'm sure was probably a real sumo wrestler.
Yeah, the great Togo, played by himself.
Makes up some every language.
I'm expecting this at least a few more times for the end of the month.
Oh, in every movie.
Asian jokes.
Every movie.
So Ishtar, the auction scene, technically North Africa, but Arab goes in the Mideast.
This
Asia.
Is literally what it made me think of, was Jerry Lewis bullshit.
So we're already like, so two movies in, a week and a day to our theme, we got two like, don't Asians speak funny jokes.
Are you serious?
No, I'm kidding. Well, now they don't know
these things.
Asians got ragged on in movies, like, up until, like, up well into the 2000s, man.
Yes.
Like, I get it, and I ain't gonna sit here and be holier than thou. I'm sure as a kid, I'm sitting there laughing at half of this shit. That part in A Christmas Story, fa-ra-ra. Look, mm-hmm. I'm not gonna say I didn't laugh at that shit. But when you really just analytically look back, it's like,
it's gross.
Damn, that was like the only thing left that they felt like they could make fun of. And it was like they quadrupled down on it.
All that happens. And then he goes out in a car with a cop, right? But guess what cop? His cop. It's not, they need to assign him to someone else. Because this guy truly is just literally begging them to pass him. He's barely passing. Don't know how he's actually passing at all. He can't remember anything.
He fails at every little thing.
Yeah.
There's a climactic scene where there's a big fight in an alley.
He delivers a baby right before this.
And he loses. That's like the best thing he did.
Yeah.
And he loses his gun, and the gun goes off and shoots someone in the leg. And it's this thing like, oh, I didn't mean to do it. One of the sympathetic gang members who wants to be a better person.
I saw his gun fall out of his holster, and I ran over and picked it up. You ain't gonna buy this, but all I wanted to do was steal it. It's worth about $20, you know? Anyway, some guy belted me and the gun flew out of my hand and landed on the street. Went off, and that's how Artie got hit.
But here's the thing. Doesn't matter. Why'd you drop your gun?
Yeah, you still lost your gun.
What did you not do? Did you not clip it in your holster? What are you fucking doing? You still can't pass. It doesn't matter that you didn't shoot the guy. Okay, you don't go to jail, but guess what? You also don't get to be a police officer.
Well, he did become a police officer, and then...
And he goes and gets the girl.
He got the girl, then he became a mentor to all the hoodlums from...
But he was just regurgitating what the other guy said to him.
There is that very sympathetic side of it, and I think this is what kind of keys into the day the clown cried aspect of it. Because you got the zany humor, but there also has to be kind of like some message, something sincere, something that's hopeful, something that's trying to like change people. And nothing becomes more tone deaf than when you're trying to strike that balance. This is why I want to see the fucking day the clown cried, because that is what that whole movie is for sure. And it is amongst the best things you could ever see, to see good intentions just be completely tone deaf and just, oh, someday I'll see it. Someday. And I'll talk about it on the show.
Tell me all about it.
But yeah, I think we accounted for three things I laughed at. I think I laughed at a couple more things. But look, I got to give some respect to Jerry Lewis. We see his legacy today as we went over. It's there. Even if these kids don't know it, Jerry Lewis did it first.
Yep.
Yeah, he did it all throughout the 50s into the 60s. And he was, a family. This was like family friendly comedy in the day. So you can watch, unless you're Asian, you should be able to find, unless you're Mongolian. Although the great Togo didn't seem offended. He seemed kind of chill with it. He got to be a star, I guess. So The Delicate Delinquent from 1957, directed by Don McGuire. The beginning of the Jerry Lewis solo era. And unlike every other movie we'll talk about, the Jerry Lewis movies, they were cashing checks, folks. People were going to see this kid. World over, they loved Jerry Lewis. So you're going to give this 1 through 5. I'm going to give 1 through 5 combined for best out of 10. What do you give the 1957 film, The Delicate Delinquent?
1.75.
Ooh, you were like, man, when you're under a 2, that movie's not good.
I don't know, dude. Like, what did I like about this movie? Nothing. Out loud multiple times, I was like, I don't like this movie.
Yeah, you were kind of upset about it. There's one point where he starts singing and you're just like, I had no problem with the scene, but you're just like, what? It's like, I'm a blank slate on Jerry Lewis.
It's a fucking musical now?
Well, I'm a blank slate, so like Jerry Lewis will just do what he does and I'll just accept it or not. And you're just like, fuck you, Jerry. Don't you fucking sing. I'm going to give it a 2.25. And what did you go? Were you
1.75? Okay. So it's a 4.
This is good because we actually don't have a lot of D's. So D's nuts. D's All right, folks, take a look at it at 4 in our D tier. It shares the rankings with Brad Michael Elmore's Bit, the lesbian vampire movie.
Oh.
And Andy Muschietti's The Flash. That seems kind of high for The Flash.
Honestly, yeah.
So, A Delicate Delinquent. Honestly, I'd probably prefer Delicate Delinquent over both of those.
1,000%.
But if it went to 425, then it shares the rankings with Air, Pride, Prejudice, and Mistletoe, and Superman of the Moment. Look, it's fine. It's a 4.
It's fine as a 4, yeah. Oh, and just quick update. I have not heard back from my mom, so I don't know if she gave money. But, if we can give you an update next Monday, we will. She may ignore my text.
if she gave, she would have been like, of course, we love the Jerry Lewis. And some of our greatest memories were watching the Jerry Lewis marathon with you.
My mom is retired and every day is like a Saturday, the way they say it. And sometimes I don't hear back from her for hours.
Also, so. You and your family were broke as shit when you were a kid. So we're not going to bust your balls too much for not
getting. Oh, no, 100. But when I had my own money, I did donate.
Yeah. Anyway, check the show notes for links, other places to find us. Like, subscribe. What do you think about The Delicate Delinquent? Are you a Lewis head? Huh? If you're really into Jerry Lewis, you definitely like this better than we did. But we got some more production next week with The Ladies' Man, and I do expect to like it a little bit more in execution, so we'll see what's up.
I'm legitimately excited to watch that.
But let's get the F out of here.
Justice for Ishtar. You and your bitchy moves. I like to fuck. I like to rub. I make you just nut. A slap on your butt. Damn, I just nutted.